This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone. Welcome on back. It's a new week of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley. And I'm delighted to say joining me is our senior ATP Tour handicapper, it's Sean Calvert. Now, Sean, the regulars of this show will know that you come on and you sometimes you're feeling a little bit down. There's a lot of things that have sort of upset you. Today's been a bit of a tough day for you, isn't it, my old mate?
It has. It was going well, actually. It was going really well because I had a really early start. My lad was playing over in Benfleet. In the football this morning. 9:30 kickoff. I had to be there at 9 o'clock in Benfleet. I was on my own this weekend looking after Lane because his mum was away doing stuff. So I had to get him up there for about 9 o'clock. He played a brilliant match, Lane did. Absolutely superb. He set up all three goals. Wow. Two goals, sorry. Should have been three. The guy missed one from about 3 inches out. But so they won. They won 2-0 away from home. And then I didn't have much of an internet signal, but I was obviously checking on the Medvedev match at the same time. He was a set and 5-1 up. I thought, hey, hello, this is good. The sun was shining, you know. It was all going very, very well, and then it wasn't after that. So Medvedev, obviously, I didn't really see much of the match, but it's fairly apparent what occurred. He obviously ran out of gas, didn't he? After a couple of sets, he obviously only had two good sets in him. Then I had to hot foot it straight from the football up to London. I nearly wiped my car out at Benfleet Station. There was a minor traffic incident. Managed to get away with that. And then straight up to London to see my mate, who's a Wolves fan, and his lad to watch, obviously, West Brom Wolves. And then, obviously, we lost that match as well, 2-0 at home. And then, yeah, so there you go. That's been my day so far today. It started out great and it went steadily downhill, I think, is the short answer.
I think you summed up the final. If anyone who hasn't followed us over the last couple of weeks, Sean's pick for the Australian Open men's singles final was Daniil Medvedev, who reached the final. Was 2-6 love, who's trading -700 with bookmakers with Bet Rivers in play. Did you hedge?
I did say that would be a good time to trade, didn't I?
I said
a set and a break or something like that. I traded it when he failed to serve the second set out of 5-1. I thought, well, hello. And he just sort of stumbled over the line, didn't he, in that second set from what I could see. From the pattern of play. So I took a bit on Sinner then. I didn't think, you know, because I wasn't watching it, I didn't really have much of a feel for the match live, but I thought if he nicks a set and then the Medvedev's legs go, then it's going to be a problem. So I had a little bit on that. But that's obviously how it worked out. You were obviously watching it. I wasn't, but that seems to be how it went.
I think it was inevitable. I think it seemed inevitable after he won the third set. Medvedev had to get it done in straights. There was no question about that. And then obviously when Sinner got the third, you could see Medvedev physically tired. It was all one-way traffic from them. But I think Medvedev will curse the opportunities. I mean, you could see him tiring in set three, but the first two sets, he just went there to play lights out tennis and try to win in straight sets. Almost come true. But anyway, listen, on the positive side, let's look at the positives of the last couple of weeks. The positives are we had a
winning
tournament.
It's been a good tournament. It's just today was a bit miserable.
Yes. We had a winning tournament, so anyone who followed our picks here would have made money. We didn't get the winner, but we had, obviously, Medvedev to make the final. That would have cashed as well. Our subscribers have gone absolutely through the roof, so thank you very much for everyone. Now, listen, this is not glitz and glamour. That's not the world. This is not what you signed up to. It's not Melbourne every week. It's not Paris. It's not Wimbledon. It's US Open. This is the ATP 250 events in Montpellier. This is what we're covering here. It doesn't really matter where you go as long as we cash a ticket. That's right, isn't it, Sean? You get paid out the same if it's 150 here or 150
I'd normally prefer the 250s. It's a lot harder to get decent outright value in Grand Slams on the men's side. Anyway, women's is something different, but on the men's side, it's difficult. So obviously, I would have liked Medvedev to have gone on and won for the position he was in. It wasn't to be, but, you know, it was still a decent tournament for us, which is not, you know, it's not easy in a Grand Slam.
It's not at all, but we did cash tickets. We did make profit. And finally, the views. You lot have been watching a huge amount of views over the latter stages of the Australian Open. So things are looking really positive. Everybody's subscribing. Everyone's got money in their pocket, cash to burn. We're doing well on the views. We're doing well on the subscribers. And we just fell short of hitting a 9-1 winner. But obviously, a 9-1 winner doesn't matter where it is. And we've got lots more tennis covered here. Every tournament, the ATP event, will be covered here every single Monday, on Sunday or Monday on the outright market, on the futures. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll have the best bets of the matches each week, regardless where it is in the world. We'll have you covered here. So let's get back to reality. Last week was fantastic. But before we do that, let's just talk about some future markets now. Yannick Sinner obviously makes his major tournament, when his first major, breakthrough major. We still don't really know. I still don't really know what Yannick Sinner's best surface is. That's the quite crazy thing about him. But let's look at the French Open, the next major. It's not till May. But Alcaraz is the favourite now with BetRivers, plus 180. Novak Djokovic, plus 220. Sinner now is plus 350. So he's third favourite to win the French Open. He's put himself into the mix now with the top three. There seems to be a top three. The US Open, Novak Djokovic is plus 180. Yannick Sinner is now joint second favourite, Carlos Alcaraz, at $3. And at Wimbledon, it's Djokovic the favourite at plus 140, Alcaraz plus 230, and Sinner $4. So there seems to be now an elite three that, you know, we know Djokovic is on a decline. Alcaraz is not playing his best since Wimbledon, that's fair to say. And Sinner now is proven that he's up there in the top three. Where do you see the best sort of opportunities to get with Sinner? And do you agree with what the bookmakers, what BetRivers of those odds there?
I think he's still got a bit to prove, Sinner. It seems strange to say, as he just won his first Grand Slam and he went in five sets, but he wasn't really tested physically, was he, throughout the tournament? I'd like to see him win a Grand Slam, having a couple of long four-setters, maybe a five-setter thrown in there, and still coming out strong and winning a final. I think that would certainly prove something to me that he's a physical specimen. I think the French Open would be really interesting, because if he plays a couple of really long fours or a five, in the early stages of that tournament, I think that'll be really interesting. I'm not so sure Djokovic is. I think it would be hard for Djokovic to win the French on the clay, given his age. I think last year he was on a bit of a buzz, wasn't he? I think he was after that elusive kind of golden slam, which ultimately only Alcaraz took it from him, didn't it? Really. But I think he's so determined to win the French last year, Djokovic. I think he'll find it hard this year to win that. Alcaraz looks a reasonable favorite for that. But yeah, I mean, with Djokovic going down, I mean, Alcaraz and Sinner was touted, wasn't it, as the next rivalry in men's tennis? And it, you know, looks like it's going to be that way in the next sort of 3, 4, 5 years.
Interesting times ahead. And as I said, every major will have you covered here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. Medvedev seems to be a little bit outlooked and sort of disregarded in the market. 10-1 to win the US Open. I think that's a bit disrespectful. 2-1 Yannick Sinner and 3-1 Yannick Sinner and 10-1 and Medvedev. I think Medvedev, if he was fit and didn't have all the matches, I think he would have won today. So
it comes back to those early rounds, doesn't it? He was so passive in a lot of those matches. He's just waiting for his opponents to make mistakes. He didn't see any of that, did you, in the first couple of sets against Sinner today? Because he knew he didn't have the legs. If he played like that more often, more proactively, thinking, hang on a minute, I don't want to come to a final having played like 18 hours again. I'd love to see him play like that more often, but just doesn't seem to be in his psyche, does it? He seems to like these long grinds, which ultimately isn't doing him any good.
Yep, they're the top echelons, the top players in the world. None of them are in action, surprise, surprise, at the ATP 250 event in Montpellier in the south of France.
Even I'm a withdrawal. I was going to go to this originally and I withdrew.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You probably got in the draw looking at it. You would have probably got in the draw looking at this one.
I was thinking about it, but it didn't happen in the end.
This is a big tournament. There's lots more tennis action. Myself and Sean will be at some venues as well, coming off some interesting stories we'll be developing at these tournaments as well. So make sure you stay across that as well on the channel. Let's have a look at this tournament here, though, in Montpellier. Sean, it's in the south of France. We look at the field. Before we look at the field, give us the conditions and what to expect here. And Montpellier, some good winners previously. A lot of French have dominated, though, haven't they?
They have. I mean, it might be the last time this is played. I think I mentioned in one of the shows last week, the local authorities withdrawn the funding. It's overwhelmingly funded by the local authority there in Montpellier, and they're not funding it anymore, so it might not be played next year. It's played on a green set, indoor hard court. Obviously, it's laid differently every year, so it could play differently depending on how the organisers see it. It's usually about a medium pace court. It averages 80% holds, 72.8% first serve points won. Kind of medium. It's not. It used to be a bit quicker. It's not. I wouldn't call it quick. It's just a pretty much bang average playing conditions, I would say. 43% of the matches have featured a tie break on average. And there's a slight trend to the unders, actually. Over 22.5 games has only cashed 45% of the time in the last 5 years. So there's a slight trend for the under total games in Montpellier. Not a bad tournament for underdog winners, actually. 35% of them have won, which is slightly above average. I think if you'd backed, just blindly backed every underdog in the last 3 years at Montpellier, you would have come out with a profit each year. Very small profit, but a profit nonetheless. So those are the conditions as far as the playing side is concerned.
Just before we look at the outright market and give you the players in the draw and their positions in the draw, how are you approaching players who have travelled from Melbourne? I mean, it's a long, long way, isn't it? I mean, somebody's gone out early a week ago, but still they've got 25 hours of traveling. So whoever, I don't think there's anybody who's been in the second week here, is it? But are you looking at you? What is your strategy, probably for this week and next week, really, for players who have gone deep in Melbourne?
Is there any playing this week that have gone?
I'm looking at the draw here. I don't think anybody would have got
really
in this week. But there will be some players who would have travelled here and have taken a bit out of them. Is it something you want to fade? Is it something you're looking at, or you're not even, you know, you're not really too concerned about that?
I'm not that concerned about it. It's a weird time of the year, this. I've always said this. February's, it doesn't make any sense, the calendar. To anyone that's new to tennis and is looking at this calendar, they're going to say, well, why? Because, you know, you've as you said, they've been in Australia. Some of them have come back. This is the only tournament this week anyway. There's some players have gone to Davis Cup because it's Davis Cup this week. And then next week, for the rest of the month, some players will be in South America on the clay. Some will be in Europe playing on indoor hard. It's a bit of a nothing time. It's not really one thing or the other. It's a strange time of year. I mean, there's some interesting trends as far as Montpellier is concerned. Alexander Bublik in 2022 is the only winner of this tournament not to come from one of the top five positions in the market. When he won it in 2022, so by and large, it has gone to the top 3, 4, 5 in the betting. But there's been a few big price finalists over the years. Last year, Cressy, what's happened to him? Was a 50-1 runner up. Bublik, as I said, the only one to buck that trend in 2022, was a 30-1 chance. Vasek Pospisil made the final here, 40-1, 2020. Pierre Hugues Herbert made the final here, 2019, 25-1. So there has been some, and those players, you'll notice, of all certain types, aren't they? Cressy, Bublik, Pospisil, Herbert, they're all big servers, like to come to the net. But the number one seed's only won it once in the last 7 years. So while it has tended to go to one of the market leaders, the number one seed isn't a shoo-in by any means. And no qualifier has ever made the final. So I think there's a slight trend there. You can, just looking at those names that I've mentioned, it's indoor hard. It's a reasonable pace. You know, if you're serving well, hitting your spots well in your forehand, it can take you far in Montpellier. But I'm not concerned too much about this field because there's no one that's really gone, you know, massively deep that I will be concerned about fatigue wise.
The number one seed is Holger Rune. He got beat by Cazu, who's also in his tournament, the Frenchman. He got beaten on the second round. So like I say, no one actually made the second week of the Australian Open. Let's have a look at the draw. Now, the top four seeds receive byes through to the last 16. So they're already through to the last 16. And there's obviously seeded players who are playing for the right to face to get through to that stage. But if it goes to seedings, the top half of the draw would look something like this. It would look like Holger Rune, the number one seed, will play Muller. Borna Koric will play Monfils. And Monfils won his tournament three times previously. And that's in the top half of the draw. Obviously, there's some dangerous floaters, which Sean will come onto in that bracket. In the bottom half of the draw, Andy Murray would be number five seed. And he'll play Felix Auger-Aliassime, the number three seed. Chevchenko, number six seed. He will play Bublik. So that is the bracket. Let's give you some odds. Holger Rune is plus 225. And Bet Rivers, he's the favourite to win this. As Sean said, number one seeds haven't got a good record. Felix Auger-Aliassime is out of form. Needs to get some form back. He's second favourite at $5. Bublik, who won this in 2022, he's $5.50. Borna Koric is 750. Gael Monfils, 750, three-times winner. Kazu, who beat Holger Rune, is unseeded, but he's a 12-1 chance with Bet Rivers. Tevchenko, 16. Andy Murray, who looked towards the end of his career, it was a very disappointing Australian Open. Can he find anything? He's up against a Benoit Paire, which will be a very interesting match. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's 16-1. Shapovalov is 22-1. And then you go into Barrère, 22-1. Muller, 28-1. And 33-1 Bois. So there's the draw. You've looked at it. You've broken it down, Sean. Where do you see the value? I'm looking at the draw itself, and I think the top half is a lot tougher than the bottom half. So, is there a draw bias? I don't think it's massively stronger, but I think certainly the bottom half looks a little bit weaker.
Yeah, I've taken one in the bottom half here. I've taken the aforementioned Artur Cazaux, who's the guy that I tipped up in Metz at a silly price end of last year. He lost in the first round to Herbert. But, you know, how impressive was he in Australia? For those that don't know, Cazaux's from Montpellier. So he's got an obvious motivation that very few others in this field have. I know the French players will be trying their best, but if you're Artur Cazaux and, you know, your confidence is flying high, you know, you've gone well in the Challenger before the Australian Open, then produce some superb tennis at the Australian Open, including beating our top seed here, Holger Rune, and beating him well. You know, he didn't scrape past Holger Rune. He beat him pretty comfortably. So the level he produced there was absolutely tremendous. If he produces that again, and you would think that he's highly motivated to do so, you know, the stats were great. Service points won and return points won, total of 107 in all his matches at the Australian Open. 93% holds of serve, 82% first serve points won. So he's really got, you know, it's got some big power about his game, big serve, heavy forehand. You would think that would suit indoor tennis down to a T, similar to the players that I listed a few minutes ago that have made the final here. He's certainly got a similar game. I know he's a much younger guy, but doesn't seem like a particularly nervy guy. He certainly didn't seem to have any problems beating some big names in Australia. So 16-1 about him I've taken each way. I think that's the bet. The other one I quite like is Shevchenko. He had a poor time of it at the Australian Open. Got beat by Munar in straight sets, but he could be interesting as well. But I think that bottom half, just looking at the draw here, it's wide open, is it? Murray looks miles away, as we'll talk about in a minute. Felix, I'm still not sure about him. He didn't exactly pull up any trees at the Australian Open. He played okay, but nowhere near his best. Bublik, former winner here. Yes, quite possible, but at the price he is, you know, not for me. I don't like backing Bublik at anything less than double-figure price is really minimum. I'd rather have him on my side as a big-priced one rather than at sort of 5-6-1. I'm not. That's not for me with Bublik. So I think that bottom half is open. You know, if he beats Martra in the first round, which we'll talk about that in a bit, I think he's got every chance of beating Felix. I really do. And if he beats Felix, I think that's very much open season, the bottom half of the draw, isn't it, for Artur Cazaux?
Yeah, I think Murray's a massive fade at the price. I know Benoit Paire.
We'll talk about Murray's stats in a minute. They're shocking.
Mm. He's currently 12-1 though. With 16-1. He's currently 12-1 now with Bet Rivers. If you look at Cazaux's form coming into it, he's 8-1 on the year. He won a challenger, didn't he, going into the Australian Open?
Yeah,
the Australian, he beat Laszlo Jere, Holger Rune, Griekspoor, and he got beat by Hercash in the round 16.
So he out-aced Hercash, 18-11, out-aced him.
I don't really know much about Cazaux, but I mean, when you get listed me the names of players who won it, I just automatically presumed it may be, you know, you've got it. There's sort of a familiar pattern. Is Cazaux a big server, comes to the net? Does he pick those? Is that kind of his style? I've never seen him play.
No, he's more of a baseliner, but, you know, heavy weaponry and a big serve, decent forehand. He's got, you know, he's got weapons, this kid. He's not a, you know, a Cressy type by any means, right. But, you know, he's certainly got the weapons to be a real force on, you know, indoor hard. And obviously he's from Montpellier.
Yeah.
So assuming he doesn't go into his shell and get all nervy, I think, and based on what he achieved in Australia, I think he's a player on the up. And I don't think if he goes well here, I don't think you'll be getting these sort of prices about him again for long.
It looks as though he's a player that's been bet. The other players are much more familiar named players. Felix, Monfils, Murray, they're being priced up on reputation name here, whereas Cazaux is obviously a bit of an unknown. And but on the form book, he's the most informed player in this tournament, and you can get
it's certainly in the bottom half. Yeah, I mean, look at what these did. Bublik basically tanked his way out of Australia, didn't he? You know, Felix, as I said, what's he done lately? I mean, indoor hard, maybe, you know, the answer for him, he tends to play better indoors. You know, he may go well and win this tournament, but I'm not backing him at that price. And as you said, Murray, nowhere even remotely close. He shouldn't be anything like that price based on what he's achieved in the last sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah. So Cazaux is our bet to win the tournament, local tournament, Frenchman from Montpellier, Montpellier 250. Cazaux at 12 to 1 is currently the price of Bet Rivers, and that represents some value for us here. Remember, we won a nice few quid. You can watch the matches as well as live stream. Head to the Bet Rivers website. You'll be able to see that. You can bet live and watch live as well. And have all the outright prices, all the futures will be on there, as well as all the matches. And the matches which we're going to come on to now, there's two matches we're going to preview for Monday and two for Tuesday. The order of play is out. The first match we're going to talk about is a match that starts on Monday at 2:20. It's Munar against Martinez. Munar is minus 108 here. Martinez is minus 114. The spread is 1.5. Well, you know, it's a pick'em game, so really you can go 1.5 either way you want to go. Total is 22.5, over minus 108, under minus 117. I think look at this match, and when I looked at the head-to-head, I was slightly interested to see where you're going to go here. I don't know exactly which way you're going to go. But Pedro Martinez has played Munar 7 times and beat him 6 times. It's 6-1 in the head-to-head. The last time Munar did beat him was back in the futures in 2016. It was a long, long time ago. But Martinez is a slight favour here. But all the money since these odds have come out has come for Munar. Munar's seen the support here. He did okay at the Australian Open. He beat Shevchenko, got beat by Manarino in a marathon match. And Martinez didn't play. He played in the qualifying at the Australian Open, didn't make the main draw, but he got to the final in the Tenerife Challenger. We got beat by Nakashima. So both of these players are playing quite good stuff, actually. But Martinez has that overwhelming head-to-head. Sometimes you say we should take notice of the head-to-head. Sometimes you say to me, we're not really too worried about it. What do you think about this one?
I think it's just being priced on the head-to-head, which is, as you said, overwhelmingly in favour of Martinez. But I really like what I saw from Munar in Melbourne. Yeah, I think he might be a hint of value here, although by the sounds of what you just said, people have been nibbling at him already. And I'm not surprised. Anyone that saw him play in Melbourne would have been impressed, because people that have seen Munar over the years, he's always had that very kind of defensive style, just make a ton of balls and wait for the other guy to miss. He didn't really do that in Australia. He showed a much more aggressive mindset there, serving big, coming into the net, hitting forehands with much more intent. In the past, he's just dollied them in and, as I said, just waited out the point for the other guy to miss. But he seems to have decided that, you know, that's only going to get me so far. I've got to add some things to my game. And, I always like it when players do the work and add some stuff to their game that they didn't have before. And it really paid off for him in Australia. He thrashed Shevchenko. And he was a big underdog for that. And Shevchenko's been in good form, you know, in recent times. And that was a kind of an eye-opening win. And then it wasn't far away at all from beating Manarino in 5 sets. Manarino just about scraped through in a fifth there. He played well in Auckland as well, actually, did Munar. Beat Vesely, and then he came within a couple of points beating Luca Van Asch in straight sets. And Van Asch went on to play well in Australia as well. So I think this is just being priced on the old head-to-head. I mean, some of those matches are from 2016. It's like, you know, 8 years ago. The head-to-head obviously heavily favours Martinez, but I know he's been playing okay in challenges lately, as you just said, but he hasn't played at main level since the French Open last year, and he hasn't won at main level for almost a year. I think the last time he won at main level was Indian Wells last year, almost a year ago. So if Munar carries that sort of style of play on that he showed us in Melbourne, if he brings that into an indoor hardcourt in Montpellier, I think he's got every chance of clawing one back on their head-to-head against Martinez. So my lean here would be Munar if you can still get an all right price.
Yeah, minus 108. Is that good enough? Would you take that?
What's that, about 1.9?
192.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lean for me. I'm not going to have that many bets in February because it's a horrible time of year. But if I was betting in that match, then I would definitely take Munar, yeah.
Yep. So lean towards Munar. Ignore the head-to-head. Long time ago, as we said, some of these matches are really important, the head-to-head. Some of them aren't. But Munar showed some really good stuff in the Australian Open at Melbourne, and we think he will carry that into this match. And at minus 108, a lean for sure against Martinez. 2:20 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow on Monday. So 22:20 in the afternoon. So plenty of time to head across to the Bet Reserve site. Currently, there's 28 different markets available on that match. It's an ATP Tour 250 event, and there's 28 different markets on these matches. You will not get a better tennis service than any other bookmaker across the United States than what Bet Rivers are offering for you at the moment. Let's move across to the second game. Then this match is actually Tuesday, but it's interesting. It's our pick for winning the tournament. It's Arthur Cazu. He's up against Maxim Martier. Minus 235 for Cazu. Martier's plus 180. The spread is 2.5, which with Martier receiving 2.5 at plus 110. Cazu giving up 2.5, a very heavy favourite, minus 141. And the total here is 22.5. Martier hasn't won a tennis match this year. And last year, he didn't do much better. And Cazu is on this brilliant run, 8-1, won the Challenger, reached the last 16 with a sort of a career highlight so far for his young career at the Australian Open, you know, against losing to Hercash. But there's some big scalps along the way, and he's, despite a ranking of sort of 26 points inferior to his opponent here, the Frenchman is a heavy minus 235 favourite.
Yeah, I think you might be being a little bit unfair to Martyr. he did pretty well at the end of last season, so on indoor hard. Got to the final of, well, he won one, I think, got to the final of another one, got to the semi-finals of Antwerp where I was. If you remember, I was at Antwerp in October. But this bet and this match is just about how well these two guys serve. And I just like the odds of this featuring a very close opening set in, you know, reasonably quickish, mediumish conditions on the indoor hard. If you look at the stats, what Martyr has done in his last 17 matches of last season, all of which were played in indoor hard. Okay, one of them was on carpet, which you don't see at main level anymore, but you know, the odd challenger does play on carpet. 94% holds of serve, Martyr, and 80% first serve points won, winning 73% of his service points overall. As I said, he made the semi-finals in Antwerp when I was there. He was very difficult to play with that big lefty serve of his. And then he made, as I said, two finals after that indoors as well, winning one title. So he ended last season pretty well in conditions that do suit him.
I expected more from him. No, I looked at his record enough, and when you looked at the indoor and hard, I thought, oh, I made him rick there. But sorry, Martier, if you're watching there. But
don't worry about it, Maximilian. I've got your back in this one. So he ended the season pretty well. I was a bit surprised that he lost to Borges in the first round of Melbourne, and then you know Borges went on to play the tennis of his career, really, didn't he? In the next sort of few matches, beat Dimitrov. Went well there. So very, very strong service stats from Martyr in very similar conditions to what he's going to encounter here. I've already touched about Arthur Cazu earlier on in this show, but 93% holds of serve this season in all matches this season, 81% first serve points won, 72% service points overall won. So two very strong servers, you know, and they've not played each other, I don't think. No, they haven't. And I always like that if they're not used to each other's serve. Left hand is always tricky to play the first round anyway. So I was quite surprised that Bet Rivers went plus 200 about over 10.5 games in set one in this one. I think that's a very good price considering the serving data of these two in quickish conditions. Happy to take that.
Yep, it's still there. So look for the set one over 10.5 currently. 2-1 with Bet Rivers. Tie break in the match as well, which I always like the tie breaks. I'm sure there's a lot of tie breaks in this tournament. Plus 120, a tie break in the match could be of interest to you as well. And if you want to play the total on the over 22.5 is minus 113. So is that our official pick?
I think that's good value over getting 2-1 about over 10.5 with these two.
So we're getting, and he's gonna have nerves. I know he's just come back from the Australian Open, but he's under the limelight. People are gonna watch him. Some people will expect him to do well. He's a minus 235 doing. He's in front of his home crowd as well. So over 10.5 games. Set number one, Martier, who was in different form last season until the end of last season, where he was really good against Cazu at 2-1, and that match is on Tuesday. So I expect that. I would expect that line to change when Sean makes a suggestion. So if you do hear this, you want to head across early, so make sure you get the bet down rather than wait until Tuesday, because I expect the line to change very quickly. Now, Andy Murray, for me, the greatest British sportsman in my lifetime. I strongly believe that. I think he's been exceptional. He looks a bit of a sorry figure at the moment on the tennis court. I think, you know, this looks like it's going to be his last season. He's really poor at the Australian Open, but he's up against Benoit Paire. Now, Benoit Paire is a bit of an interesting character, to say the very least here. But Andy Murray is -335 to win this match. Benoit Paire is +260. I know Murray has won it four times they played before, but this is a very different Murray from them in games. The handicap here is 4.5, -118 for Murray, giving up 4.5. I know anybody could bet Murray -4.5. Paire +4.5, and the total is 21.5. But you have Andy Murray here, just not looking the same, obviously struggling, but you've got this erratic, sort of volatile Benoit Paire that we can never really trust. And this match starts on Monday at 1 p.m. So make sure you get whatever Sean suggestions here. But I think you're going to be very, very brave to have a real strong opinion on this one, because the Murray price does look wrong, Sean, but what's on the other side of the net, really? I mean,
well,
we don't know, do we?
I have no idea what's on the other side of the net. Benoit doesn't know what's on the other side of the net. All you can do is try and look at the clues and try and figure out how he's going to show up. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw a very interested and committed, at least for some of the match, showing from Benoit Paire here. You know, he's from Avignon, which is very close to Montpellier. So it's home turf for him. You feel like he might be, you know, he's 34 years of age now. He's 35 in May. He's definitely at the end of his career. He's never been the most committed at the best of times. As I saw a video of him and Monfils talking at the end of last year about the tour grind, and they're both saying that people don't really understand how difficult it is and how much of a grind it is to just keep going and do all these different tournaments, different hotels, different weeks somewhere else, you know, away from home for long periods of time. They were talking, I mean, not many people will have too much sympathy for him, I shouldn't think, earning that amount of money. But, you know, if you're Benoit Paire, you've earned a very good living out of tennis, haven't you? And he's coming obviously to the end of his career now. It doesn't like the grind. But here in home conditions, I presume he's got to play somewhere near there. Former finalist here, former semi-finalist here, quarter-finalist here. Good record, 11-7, win-loss. You know, he doesn't get that many chances to play at main level these days, Benoit Paire. He's kind of grinding away on the Challenger Tour. Made a final not so long ago. But, you know, you can expect him. If he fancies it, he fancies it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But this price on Murray, I mean, these could be the right circumstances for taking a punt on Paire. If you are betting this match, this is a horrible price on Andy Murray. His level was, I don't know what the right word is. It was just awful, wasn't it, in Australia? Mm-hmm. He's going to need so much better than that if he's going to be competitive at this sort of level this season. I mean, he might not need his best level against Benoit if Benoit doesn't fancy it. But look at these stats. Murray's last 10 main level matches, 2-8 win-loss. And his service points won and return points won total is 95. His service hold and break total is 87. And he's held serve 69% of the time. I mean, it's just dire. I know it's a smallish snapshot, but it's not that short. It's like 6 months or something. So it's not like a one or two matches. He's been bad for some considerable time now. He's going to need way, 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 way better if he's going to continue playing tennis, I think. I don't know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Murray called it quits at Wimbledon. That wouldn't surprise me. I think he said something in his interview about how he's already got an idea of where he wants to finish, I think he said, didn't he? So that, you know, it wouldn't take a genius to figure out that that's probably Wimbledon. I can't imagine he would go on longer than that, playing the way he is, which is really bad, as the statistics I just mentioned. So if you're feeling brave and you fancy a plus money play on this, I would probably take Paire to win the opening set, which is a +188 chance for Bet Rivers. There is a serious chance if he doesn't win that set, he could lose the next set 6-love or just have a meltdown and get disqualified or whatever. But he tends to show up for the first set. And I don't think it would take that much winning unless Murray is way, way better than he was in Australia. So that would be my advice on this one if you're having a bet on it.
Yeah, I couldn't bet Andy Murray of anyone's money at -335. There has been money in the last sort of hour or so for Benoit Paire starting to be nibbled at the prices. So there are a lot of brave people around there who want to get with the Frenchman.
It could go drastically wrong, that, by the way. But I think Murray's not a good price, is he?
Well, Murray's only won 2 of his last 10 matches, but Paire has lost his last 4 in challenger events and in qualifying for the Australian Open, lost in the first round as well. So I think it's, I mean, you couldn't bet the handicap because there is that complete wipeout factor.
Mm.
You couldn't bet the games because, again, you could have a six love set. You know, and really, I think the only two players you can have in this match, honestly, are your pick there, Paire to win the first set, or actually bet Paire to win the money line.
Yeah.
And just say, oh, I'm going to have a little, I think Murray's cold, but you couldn't bet Murray at -335 and you couldn't have anything else. So,
no, you would have to be, you wouldn't want to be messing around with Paire on handicaps. No. It's got to be risk reward, hasn't it? It's got to be a reasonably high reward if you are going to take a risk on someone like Paire. But, you know, the conditions are right for him. You know, as I said, he lives in the, you know, certainly from the area. He's got a decent record here in the past. So he might be up for this. You never know.
Yeah, he's enough for another Frenchman who we think may rise to the challenge in our final match. Is another Frenchman who's got an exceptionally good record here at this event, Gael Monfils. He's won it 3 times before. The last time he won it was back in 2020. In great form, though. I must have another one who's sort of a sort of aging a little bit, but not in the best of form. Well, how old is Gael Monfils now? 37 years of age, 38 years of age. He's up against Flavio.
I'll tell you in a sec.
He's back. Is it a 21-year-old Italian, Flavio Cobillo? This to me looks a tough one. I think this is difficult. Cobillo did really well at the Australian Open. He came through qualifying, beat Jarry, beat Kotov, and he got beat by Alex de Minaur, which is, you know, that's a good effort from him. Just outside the top 100. But talking about playing people at the right time of their career, I know Monfils is a good player and he likes to play in front of the French crowd. He's flamboyant, but these odds here, for me, don't reflect what we saw at Melbourne. Monfils is -245. Cobillo, the Italian, is +195. There's British 3.5, -120 for Cobillo, -107 for Monfils. And the total here is 22.5 with over at even money.
Hmm. I think you have to take Cobillo in some way here.
Why are they calling Cobillo? Cobillo.
I'm going with Cobillo. I don't know what you're going with, but
Flavio's to me.
Flavio, then, let's call him that. You know, if he carries on that form he showed in Melbourne, this could be a really, really close match. It could certainly be very interesting. The stats that I've got for Cobillo at the Australian Open: service points won every 10 points, one total of 104, and a service hold and break total of 109. Now that does include qualies as well, but more than respectable stats there. But very interesting statistics for Cobillo, who's clearly on the upgrade. You know, he did run out of gas against Alex de Minaur, as you said. You know, that was a tough matchup for him after 2 exhausting affairs, really, against Nicholas Jarry and Kotov. But 2 very, very good wins that you wouldn't have expected, really, coming into that tournament. But, you know, he's another Italian player who's on the up, and in what's a very exciting time for Italian men's tennis. It's, you know, it's been down in the last sort of few decades, I suppose. The odd high from Fabio here and there, but Fabio Fognini, that is, but nothing until Sinner and this current generation, Massetti and, you know, Cobillo and a few other the younger guys as well coming through. It's a really good time to be an Italian tennis fan, I think. You know, if he carries on that form, he should present a test for Monfils. Monfils hasn't started the season well, has he?
No.
He only won 36% of his second serve points against Echeverry in a straight sets loss. Thomas Martin Echeverry in Melbourne. But he's going to need way better than that if he's going to justify odds of around about -250, I think he is, to win this, isn't he?
Yep. I think it's another one. I think he's being priced up on reputation. And I think these younger guys in the top 100 are closing in on these big names. Like, he's 37. We just checked his age. He's 37.
Yeah, he's 38 in start of September, around about US Open time. Yep. So he's got about another 6 or 7 months of his 37. 38th year. So, you know, he has got a good record, as you said, 19-5 win loss here in Montpellier. But, you know, they were a while ago. He's only played here once, I think, since 2020. He got beaten pretty comfortably by Mikel Ema, I think, in the only match he's played here since then. So, you know, almost 4 years ago. That said, Monfils, you know, he ended the season great, didn't he? So really well. He ended in the outdoor hard courts at the end of last season. Then he won Stockholm as well. Hasn't started this season as well as I perhaps expected him to, but I feel like over 22 and a half is perhaps the play here at even money with Bet Rivers. I feel like this is going to be one of those ones that Monfils might just pull it out with, you know, the variety that he has. Maybe the 2-1 to Monfils. Not sure what price that is, but that'll be a reasonable play as well. Either that or the overs. I think any match, any bet that is kind of leaning towards Caboli doing better than expected, I think is the way to go here.
Set betting 2-1 to Monfils is plus 265 against Caboli.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So you can get that plus 265, or you can go over the games. Even money is over 22 and a half, 28 different markets available on this match on the Bet Rivers website right now. And this match starts on Tuesday. So again, when Sean makes such a tip, a lean, the line usually crashes. So head across now and make that bet. I think it's an interesting card. I mean, not the glamour, not the big names that we've seen and the sort of five set epics, the long matches we've seen in Melbourne, but some very, very interesting matches that we discussed there about some fading giants of the game. Andy Murray, Gael Monfils, who are coming to the end of their careers and are very vulnerable at heavy minus money favourites. Sean, just give us your quick recap of your best bets for tomorrow, your official picks.
Yeah, just a couple of official picks. A tricky old time of year. This it's not February yet, but I'm classing this as February. The match bet that I like is over 10.5 games in set one of Martyr against Cazaux. That's a plus 200 chance with Bet Rivers. And the same guy features in the outright bet, taking Cazaux each way to win this tournament.
Yep, they're the official picks. We've got a couple of leans as well, but that is the only one that's going to be on that record that you see revolving below me here. Loads of stuff on the Bet Rivers website, loads of stuff on the content coming your way. Follow at Because We Win, which is our Twitter account and our Instagram account. Please subscribe. Amazing amount of views, an amazing amount of subscribers that we said during the Australian Open at the top of the show. So thank you very, very, very much for us. Stick with us though, because whether it's a 250, a 500, 1000 or a major, we've got you covered here on Game Bet Match with the best betting analysts that you will find across any network or anywhere else on in the betting world. We've got you for tennis. We've got you covered here. And also give us a download of our podcast, which you can find on all podcast providers. Betting Weekly, Game Bet Match. Make that ride again high in the charts with all your downloads that you've been doing on that. That's it then. That's the show. It doesn't really matter. It's Andrei Medvedev. And 9-1 each way in the Australian Open. Whether
it's Andre, back in the game.
Do you know why I said that? Because every time I've been tweeting Medvedev during the show, I put at Medvedev. It keeps coming up with Andre Medvedev, and I knew that at some stage I was gonna press it and send it, put the wrong person in, and he's obviously in my mind.
I'm glad he's not back in the game. Oh, he was must be about 50 odd, but 60.
Yeah, he's got to be almost as old as a Gael Monfils. Daniel Medvedev, whether it's Daniel Medvedev or whether it's Caboli or Cazaux, it doesn't matter. Cashing tickets are what it's about, and that's what we're going to do here throughout the year on Game Bet Match. We've got you covered on the tennis season. We do all the hard work, so you don't have to. Sean, have a good day, mate. I know it's been a long day. Started up early with the football with a boy. I was on the under 2.5 goals there. 3 goals done me up.
Well, you were lucky because one of Lagan's teammates missed an absolute sitter from about 3 inches out.
Well, there you go. So it was a good day there. Then the tennis, and then obviously a loss to your arch rivals in the FA Cup. But we're going to cash tickets tomorrow. Anyway, I'll be back with Sean on Tuesday. There's some great content on here. We've got a WTA show with Roy Giovanni, who looks at the tournaments on the WTA on the futures market. He's got a 25-1 pick on there, which you'll see on the channel. And also, there's loads of content coming your way on the soccer. There's an extra midweek card on the Premier League we'll be recording tomorrow that will drop tomorrow, which will be Betting Weekly Premier League. And obviously the Champions League is back in a couple of weeks, the last 16 matches. So really good content coming your way over the next month here on the Bet Rivers studio. Sean, good luck, mate. Take care. And I'll catch you on Tuesday. All the best.